Welcome to the Gambling Gauchos. I'm Rob Bro. He's Money Mainville. Kyle out again today, and for good reason. He did legitimately have a child this week. I was going to make up something. I was going to joke about it again, but you know what? Shout out to Mrs. Gaucho, the Gauchita, and the Gauchito, and of course, Mr. Gaucho, and the whole Gaucho family there. Big love to Kyle and his wife and family. They are both healthy and on their way to having an incredible life. And I'm not going to say the kid's name, but he was named after one of the most prolific quarterbacks of all time. Shout out to Kyle. He claimed family name, but we all know what happened. Okay. Former Tech athlete, shout out. Fanzino. Is that Martin Zeno? Different spelling, but shout out to him. Texas Tech baseball gets the sweep over the weekend over West Virginia. Very good series. I would argue that's Texas Tech baseball's best series so far in conference play. You also swept Houston and beat BYU, but sweeping West Virginia at home is massive. We'll talk about midweeks here in a second. We'll also discuss what you have left in the conference slate as well. But first, spring football happened over the weekend. They canceled it in Midland, the spring game, and it did rain a lot in Midland on Saturday afternoon. Rained a lot here on Saturday afternoon as well. But they did end up having the spring scrimmage indoors, open to credentialed media. From Don's tweets and Chris Lovell and the boys and girls, what did you learn this weekend, Money? And are you taking any stock? Any stock?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the only reasonable conclusion to come to is that Will Hammond's going to win the Heisman this year. Tech is winning the Natty. But I don't want to go too far on that. I feel like that's a pretty good baseline, you know, floor to set our minds at this point. No, you know, it's a bummer that you don't really get to have that true spring game feel. But I like what they did with it this year with Team Morton and Team Taj. I think that adds a little bit of flair to it. You know, it makes it different. I think you see other programs trying to pump life into spring games. Ole Miss did the 50-yard field, I believe. And then obviously, you know, Tech kind of doing an all-star game format, so to speak, with two team captains. And so I think that's fun. But no, shout out to the guys and the gals who had boots on the ground, providing great coverage. Read a lot from my guys, Jared and Justin over at Red Raider Sports over the past weekend. They did a great job covering that. A lot of good highlight reels from the game. An absolute dot from Will Hammond in the end zone, where I believe it was Carlos Miller just mossed a guy. That was really, really impressive. But I read some stuff from Jared. Want to make sure I'm giving him credit there, but seems like the linebackers played really well. I think your quarterbacks played pretty well, which is always a good sign. I think I believe even Joey said it, like they've settled on Brown as the QB2 at this point, which is pretty exciting, honestly, in my mind, that you kind of, I don't want to call him a flyer, but you had two young options at quarterback who I imagine you felt okay about. You saw probably not enough of a sample size on Strong, but I know that it was plenty for some people to be like, nah, we'll see. Yeah. And I think a lot of people are excited about Will Hammond, and understandably so. I think he's super talented and will be a huge part of this program's future, but it never hurts to have experience at quarterback, to have a guy who's been there, who's played in collegiate games. And so to have Brown, I think, is a huge boost. And then also saw some good things about Cameron Valdez, you know, looking more physical, dealing with contact a lot better. And so that's exciting, especially after, you know, you lost a couple of running backs to the portal this past week. So, yeah, not a lot of stock that I put into spring games or scrimmages or anything like that. But they can give you a little bit of a hint as to, you know, areas to watch, areas where, you know, you could have a little bit more depth than you imagined.
Anquan Willis, who is in the portal, ran for a 50-yard touchdown. Do you like players in the portal participating in bowl games and spring practice? Spring practice is one thing. I don't know that I completely mind it in spring practice. I didn't really like the bowl game participation from the guys in the portal. Even though some of them decided to come back. I don't imagine you're going to be too boisterous about this, but do you have any thoughts on one way or the other of guys in the portal participating in the red and black scrimmage?
I might be actually of the other mind than you are. I think in a bowl game, you kind of have the opportunity to give the guys one more chance at putting things on film. Most of them are nationally televised, so they're on a good platform for people to see. And they get to participate in the postseason. I think that's a lot of fun. And it is something that, you know, you work towards all year. If you kind of get the sense that you're not going to be a part of the program's future, that's obviously a bummer. But you still worked every week in practice, put in that work. And so I think the postseason is kind of a fun reward for that. Spring ball, maybe my thinking is you kind of want to see what you have and the guys that you know will be a part of your roster heading into the season. So maybe you limit the reps of guys who are transferring and you really try to figure out and give more carries or more touches or more reps to guys that you know will be on the depth chart. Now, obviously, I don't think it's detrimental either way. Yeah, maybe just a differing opinion there, but I don't really have a strong opinion on it either way. I think Joey's a good guy. That much has been established clearly at this point, and he's going to do whatever he feels is in the best interest of his players, which he absolutely should.
Yeah, certainly. And I'm not advocating for a coach going zero contact, cold turkey, kick him out the door, like I've heard coaches doing in this transfer portal era. There's probably a happy medium here, but in practice, I view it as if you're in the portal, you're looking to go elsewhere, which could be read as quitting, right? You're quitting on this program and trying to find a new program. And I understand the transfer portal is of, especially in 2024, is a very nuanced thing that's not cut and dry. And you know what? Maybe they see, and I'm talking about these coaches, maybe they see the freshman and say, hey, you've been here 2 years, guy, and this freshman here is pushing you for carries. Maybe it's best you enter the portal. We'll let you play in the spring game. Now, if that's the conversation, I don't have any issues with it at all. But if the conversation is, hey, I'm probably going to be the third running back here for my own best interest, I'm going to get in the portal. And the coaches are like, yeah, you can still play in the game. I don't know. And the only reason I'm not like outright disowning it or being crazy about it is because I don't know the semantics or the individual story on each guy. So with that being said, long way to say, I don't really care. I don't really care one way or the other. But I hope it's the former. I hope it's the former where Joey is actively trying to find guys the best situation for them. You know what? In 10 years, if Joey McGuire is still at Texas Tech and Anquan Willis is a high school coach somewhere and he has a 5-star running back prospect, and he's like, you know what? That guy treated me really, really well, even when I transferred out. He's a great guy to go play for. It's always recruiting. And 10 years ago, you could decimate, burn, kill a bridge on the way out because it didn't really matter moving forward if you won. But now it matters so quickly because Anquan Willis also has friends and message boards and social media, and you can't go burning bridges anymore because you get burnt really quick. And I think, you know, relationships, hashtag relationships, I think that's important for them as well. All right, we're in a tight one, by the way. Rangers, Braves, trying to avoid the sweep. 6-4, top of the ninth. Leody Taveras kind of looks like Nomar Mazara, if I do say so myself. Just got a glimpse of half his face.
We have a TV at the office. The guy who hooked it up, he is Bally's, luckily. So I was watching Rangers-Tigers series, and I was at my desk talking to somebody when he just completely whiffed on that ball in center field.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, what just happened? How did that just go right over his head? He seems very, very up and down. I've got to turn that game on, though, because I've been watching very sad basketball all day. There's not been an exciting basketball game today.
How about those Mavs, huh?
That was rough. They looked hungover is the best way I can describe it. Like, the Clippers had an incredible game shooting the basketball. The Mavs had an incredibly awful game shooting the basketball. But even body language was so bad in that game. Like, Mavs were missing really easy defensive rebounds. Clippers were getting second chances. It just never feels good to get torched by Russell Westbrook at this age. Like, when Russell Westbrook and James Harden are taking over a game, it's just not a good feeling.
That Clippers roster feels like when you play 2K for 5 years in your own world and you're playing in the West, let's say you're the Mavericks, and then all of a sudden you're seeing some team in the East you haven't played in 5 years, and it's like, oh, Westbrook and Harden and Paul George. And this is such a weird Kawhi, such a weird collection of players there. And I don't pay attention enough to the NBA, I guess, to know they were all there, but funny. It's an odd collection of players for sure.
It very much is like year five on a rebuild sim feel.
Yeah. Where the computer's just making all kinds of trades without you, free agent signings. Wild. Okay. Here's a question. Do y'all have any idea where our NIL ranks for major sports in the Big 12? That's an interesting question. In basketball, you're with all the newbies, top half. And I would assume year to year, probably closer to the top than the bottom of the top half. But with Kansas and Baylor, who I think got a renewed NIL push in basketball, I think that's one of the reasons Scott Drew stayed, because the Magnolia Group said, we'll pay your basketball NIL. And they just signed Jeremy Roach from Duke. And Arizona and those types of schools, I think you're probably up there with them. Now, Arizona's cash poor, but still, you probably have to put them up there because it's not the school that's paying the NIL. But in football, I think the structure is in such a way, you have the best in Big 12 football, in the new Big 12. I would say Texas Tech has the best NIL situation, just top to bottom, surface level with the Matador Club. I don't think anybody else is as good as the Matador Club. Now, top-end money, money that people are willing to spend on one guy, that's a conversation I don't really think anybody knows year to year. Because you could have one guy come in 1 year like he did for Texas Tech basketball 2 years ago and just say, we're spending $2 million this year on three players. Here they are. But I would say Texas Tech is top half in the major sports. Closer to the top in football, probably.
You've got to be high in basketball because the Dallas Morning News published an article last July that got quite a bit of traction, where Tech was close to 8 million in total NIL deals among all sports. And in basketball, you were sitting at like 3.2 million. And Kansas this year was the highest paying team in terms of NIL at 4 million. So obviously 800K is a lot of distance when we're talking about, you know, how much each individual guy can gross. But yeah, 3.2 million is a lot. So I would say they are near the top in basketball. I don't know enough about football. There's so many roster spots that it makes it so much more confusing. And then you've got guys like, obviously, you know, Taj is probably making a lot. I imagine Barron's making quite a bit. Micah Hudson, if he's not already making quite a bit, will be making quite a bit. But yeah, basketball is competitive. And I don't, like, Tech Hoops guy talks about this a lot, and I'm glad he does, but like, NIL has been a net positive for Tech. And I think that they've also been very competitive in the way that they've approached it.
I don't think you'll ever get specific numbers, because a lot of that, a lot of the NIL stuff falls under the 501c3, like Rainbow, and of course Baylor, or private companies and private universities don't have to turn over what they're doing. I guess you could FOIA tax returns for these athletes. I don't know. I don't know how you would go about it to get an accurate number, but I would say Texas Tech is incredibly competitive in the Big 12, in the new Big 12. And then a distant behind, I think the whole new Big 12 is a distance behind Texas and the top of the SEC and the top of the Big 10. Not because they're in the SEC and the Big 10, but because those schools are who they are. And again, those TV contracts don't pay NIL. Boosters do. And their boosters are just, they have more, and they have more old money. They've been around longer.
Baylor's going to be good.
Basketball?
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be bad in football. Did you see their drama this weekend?
Saw they canceled their spring game.
Well, they canceled the TV showing of the spring game. And they said, we need more practice. It's just going to be a regular practice. It's not going to be a scrimmage. We're just having a regular practice. And this is something that Gary Patterson has done in the past at TCU. He's at Baylor now. Gary Patterson has canceled spring games and denied media access and all of this stuff. But then they like double canceled the spring game to where it wasn't even a practice anymore. Like, they just completely gave up, I guess, the end of their spring football. And then Gary Patterson was out doing a concert for their NIL benefit. So I don't know what Baylor's doing. I'm not afraid to say it. Dave Aranda is not the guy. He might be Wade Phillips. He might just be a great coordinator. I don't know that he's a head coach. And he has a Big 12 title, so that's crazy. But he just got so lucky that season. So lucky.
Thought I saw a quote, too, that they were still, like, after, I guess it was on Saturday, but, like, they wanted to go watch the film before they named a starting quarterback. And, like, obviously that, so much of that is smokescreen.
Yeah.
And, like, guys never want to show their hand, even in April, which is kind of pointless to me, but... Man, that Toledo guy is good. Like, there has to be no question of what direction they go come August.
Well, you know, Sawyer Robertson still there, yes. I think he's the two. It'll be interesting. And again, they made that decision before spring football was over 1 year, and Jerry Bohannon left. And so maybe he learned from that and is saying, I don't know who the starter is going to be. I don't want our guys to leave until they can compete for it in the fall. I don't know. But Baylor football does not seem like they are on solid footing at all. And then we talked about Colorado. I don't know if they're going to have enough players to field a team for 12 weeks. And they're already talking about the draft in 25 with Shadur and Shiloh, because Deion's already talking about which NFL teams can draft them. It's like, let's get there first, Deion. Let's play a college football season before we start talking about the draft again. All right. Any other spring football thoughts from Texas Tech or otherwise in the Big 12?
I don't think so. No.
Texas Rangers have won a game. Shout out to the Texas Rangers. All right, let's climb into some Texas Tech baseball then. The Red Raiders sweeping West Virginia over the weekend. And the Red Raiders were 33rd in RPI before the series. After their first win of the series, Saturday night, and all the other results on Saturday, they dropped to 35th. But because of it, because of other people, not because of beating West Virginia. And then beating West Virginia two more times, they jump all the way to 28th. So the Red Raiders are the 28th team in the RPI today, which really matters in college baseball. Basically, if you are a power conference college baseball team and you're in the top 20 of the RPI, you are a host. That's just how it has worked lately in college baseball. Right now, A&M, Arkansas, Kentucky, Clemson, Florida State, Tennessee, North Carolina, East Carolina, Wake Forest. Can you give me something in common for all of those teams? Money?
Say that again.
I want something in common for these teams. I'm going to skip Texas A&M because they fit, but they don't fit. Arkansas, Kentucky, Clemson, Florida State, Tennessee, North Carolina, East Carolina, Wake Forest. Those are the top eight of the top nine. And 11th is Georgia. 13th is Coastal Carolina. 14th is South Carolina. What are all those have in common geographically?
They're all on the East Coast.
They are all in the Southeast quadrant of America. In a national baseball tournament, money, you can't have 16 host sites in one region. So the RPI might be a little shaky this year. Going past 16, Dallas Baptist, Vanderbilt, Alabama, James Madison, all in the top 25, Ole Miss, UCF at 26. The teams outside of the Southeast, technically, we're going to say Texas A&M, but they are so far east in Texas, they are basically right there. If you want a Western Quadrant host right now, today, if the season ended today, UC Santa Barbara, shout out to the Gauchos, they're 12th in the RPI. Could they host? Sure. Will they? Probably not. Indiana State in the Missouri Valley, they're 10th in the RPI. No chance they host, in my opinion. Oregon State at 15th, they will absolutely host if the season ended today. Dallas Baptist has a good conversation to host, but they're 7-5 in Conference USA, 28-10 overall. You could talk about their resume a little bit. Then you have Nebraska, a Big Ten host. And then outside of that, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Texas Tech. Texas Tech at 28th. So if you're looking for host outside of the SEC, the ACC footprint, you're not going to have 16 Southeast Quadrant hosts. You're pretty close to hosting right now if you're Texas Tech. If they're looking for and trying to force a West Coast host with Oregon State on the West Coast, and then because of where you're situated and because of what NCAA baseball programs are in between you and the Mississippi, if you win one or two more Big 12 series, especially against Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, you're right back in the conversation. But here's the conversation that needs to be had. The RPI is so malleable money that a loss would be detrimental to a bad team at this point in the season. A loss to Arkansas, because of how the RPI is shaped, helps. But because of how the RPI is weighted, if you lose to, I don't know, New Mexico or UTRGV in the next 2 weeks, that is bad, bad, bad news for the brand. So I am going to say, Money, for the first time in the history of the Rob Bro Show, of broadcast, of the Gambling Gauchos, of the Naked Boot, of any of the shows I've ever been on, two of those nobody's ever heard of Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland, out of any of those, you should cancel the two bad RPI games left on the schedule. There are three bad RPI games technically on the schedule, with UNLV also coming in the final weekend. You have to cancel two of the three. And I think there are some qualifications now that you have to go through to cancel games late in the season because of the epidemic of it happening in the last couple of years of Texas A&M just canceling willy-nilly. But in Lubbock, of all places in America, you could claim weather on a Tuesday and it'd be perfectly fine on the following Wednesday. So I think we need to come up with some weather plans. Get Ron Roberts on the phone. Get John Robertson on the phone and say there's weather next Tuesday and the following Tuesday, and avoid those two matchups. Do I like it? No. Would I advocate it if it wasn't totally necessary? No. My thought has always been, if you have the game scheduled, go win it, you pansies. But the RPI risk is just too great right now with what you had ahead of you, with Oklahoma in the top 25 of the RPI, Oklahoma State in the top 25 of the RPI, Kansas at 83, which is not bad. That's quad respected. And then Arizona State in the 80s. Those are your multi-game series left. By the way, you've won 11 straight at home, and to have another home series left. I'm just saying, if it calls for it, and I think this does with the RPI matrix, cancel the games. You have to.
I know it's a different system, but I'm going to try and translate this to basketball to make it make sense in my head. Let's say you were able to take a break in basketball through 9 Big 12 games, and you had an open slot after 9 Big 12 games. You can do whatever you want with that slot. You can schedule UConn, or you can schedule Texas A&M Corpus Christi. So you essentially have a couple of options there, right? You can say, hey, we're in the meat grinder of the Big 12. Let's schedule Texas A&M Corpus Christi. If we win, what does that do for our net ranking? Absolutely nothing, right? It's a quad four win. Doesn't do you a lot of good. If you lose, it's going to be pretty damaging to your net ranking because it's a quad four game, a game that you should win. If you schedule UConn, if you win it, that's going to help your net ranking quite a bit. It's a Q1A game. UConn's a good team. If you lose, you might drop a few spots, but you also might not even move. And in some cases, I know this has happened before, teams have lost quad one games and they've gone up in the net. So very similar, I guess, in that respect to RPI. So I make translating that for basketball, right? Or for baseball, I guess I should say. If we're taking this as, you know, you have a Texas A&M Corpus Christi on the schedule, do you risk losing that game, which is a lot easier in baseball? A lot easier. Or do you cancel the game and not let it affect your RPI? And so if that's making sense, I'm sure there's a lot of holes in that comparison. Not scientific at all. But I think from that respect, I can see what you're getting at. And I can kind of see how managers in the past have kind of tried to skew the RPI or game the RPI in that respect with canceling games, not leaving it up to risk. Because again, I don't know a lot about college baseball, but I do know that baseball is baseball, and that's the way it goes sometimes. And somebody can get you on an off night and you can be beaten by anybody. So I think in that respect, it is an interesting way to look at it in terms of, hey, do we just want to cancel this game and potentially have a better chance at hosting because of that?
By the way, on warrennolan.com, they do a lot of RPI work. They have the live RPI, but they also have data-driven packages, right? Where you have predicted RPI, they have the nitty-gritty predicted RPI, the natural predicted RPI, and then they have the RPI team sheets that show you the needed schedule and record in each quad to finish where you need to finish or want to finish. It looks like right now, based on what Warren Nolan thinks will happen the rest of the college baseball season, Texas Tech could be as high as 17 in the RPI. And that is absolutely a host. Not a national seed, but a host. And that is finishing out with a series loss in Stillwater, a series win at home against Oklahoma, and sweeps, a five-game sweep against Arizona State and Kansas. Arizona State and Kansas. So a Big 12 series victory, a Big 12 sweep, and a Big 12 series loss is all that's standing in your way to hosting if you win the final five non-conference games. And at least two of those, three of those, are going to be quad four games, which is why you want to cancel those four quad four games. They don't matter. But I said it, I think 2 weeks ago, and I was laughed at, that this team could host. And since then, you took care of business against Houston, swept Houston. We're competitive. We're competitive against Arkansas. You lost twice. lost a series to TCU, people jumping off the boats, people bailing water. Then you sweep West Virginia right back where you want to be. If you win one game against Texas and flip that series, if you win one game against Baylor and flip that series, I mean, this is a whole different conversation. You just started so poorly in Big 12 play. But you're back over big, you're back over the hump in Big 12 play. You've got a winning record. The Big 12 baseball is such a cluster right now. Oklahoma is 14-4. Thank goodness you get them at home. Then you have Oklahoma State, West Virginia, and Texas with 11 wins. They're 11-7. You're a series ahead of them at 12-9. 9-3 at home in conference play. You're basically second place. I think the winning percentage, you're third. Tied for fifth, I guess. But it's impressive to me what Tim Tadlock and Coach Gardner have done here in the back end. Your starting pitching has been great in the last three or four Big 12 series. Going all the way back to UCF. I know you lost the series. Including TCU. I know you lost the series. Starting pitching has not been a problem. And your bullpen has been a competitive Big 12 bullpen, save for the guys who never pitch that pitched against Stanford and that one inning in Fayetteville. Otherwise, you've been a very competitive bullpen over the last month. And I think, Ryan, if your offense stays hot at home, this team absolutely could be in a super regional fighting for a chance at Omaha. And a lot of that rests on getting a regional in Lubbock. You're much better at home. But you're also really good in Stillwater so far at Obrate Stadium, so we'll see.
It's a lovely ballpark.
It's very nice. I would like to go. Probably can't swing it this year, but I would love to go. You swept them in 2021. I don't remember what you did against Oklahoma State last year. Well, that would have been 2 years ago. 24. Oh, you flipped with the new schedule. Have you not played them in Stillwater since 2020? Oh, I'm confused now. I shouldn't do this on the live podcast. This is great radio. Let's see. Texas Tech history against Oklahoma State. By the way, all time against Oklahoma State. This is weeks from now. I don't know why. We're playing Kansas next if you're Texas Tech, but we can look ahead. I think you actually Oklahoma and Kansas in between these two series. In 2022, you swept Oklahoma State at Obrate. They opened in 21. The last time you played in Obrate or in Stillwater, not Obrate, but in Stillwater, was 2018. You swept them then. The last time you played in Stillwater, holy crap, you swept them then. You've won 9 straight in Stillwater. 16, 3 straight. 18, 3 straight. And then there was a mysterious neutral site Oklahoma State game. I don't remember that. On Thursday, May 24th. Oh, that must be the Big 12. The Big 12 tournament. We won't count that one. Why'd you play that at Stillwater? And obviously, didn't play in 2020. You've won 9 straight games, Money, in Stillwater. I was not familiar that you owned that series so hard. Sharpie, you heard it here first. If you win the rest of your Big 12 series, you go ahead and Sharpie the host spot as well. Granted, you have to take care of business in the non-conference as well, but all right, we will talk to Tech Hoops Guy and Money again on Wednesday. We'll also have a mailbag. By the way, Money, we talked about Luka earlier and how they just got bodied by the Los Angeles Clippers. If Luka wants to sue the Clippers before game two for libel and slander and defamation, he could. And they don't want him to call, but if he needs to call, he could call Barnett Howard Williams, bhwlawfirm.com. I don't necessarily think they handle those cases, but they certainly could. They do everything across the state of Texas, stationed there in Fort Worth, but they handle Title IX cases, personal injury, family law. They do it all. They're at Barnett, Howard, and Williams. Certainly, if you need more information, go to bhwlawfirm.com. Texas Tech graduates. You can always trust a Texas Tech graduate. You can always trust a Texas Tech graduate. All right. We will see you Wednesday on Patreon. Patreon.com/gamblingoutros.
Love y'all.